Some of you are going to find this a bit incredulous, but here's something that federal, state, and local governments all tell us to do that we should actually listen to. Eat more fruits and vegetables. You've heard about the health benefits of increasing plant-based nutrients into your diet, but how can you easily consume all the fruits and veggies needed? Well, it's easy. By adding grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity into your meals. Grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity is a power blend that has 31 fruits and vegetables in every scoop. Organic vegetables, super greens, super fruits, and super sprouts. It is fortified with essential vitamins plus an immunity boost. And right now, you can get a free 2-week supply of grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity by just paying $8.95 for the shipping and handling. And not only that, you'll also get a free frother to quickly whip up your healthy and nutritious grown American drink. Go to grownamericansuperfood.com/John and order today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the John Fugelsang Podcast.
Good evening and welcome to SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang. This is Tell Me Everything. So good to have you. So good to be had. We're at 866-997-4748 for the next few hours. So glad you're with us. We have a great show planned tonight. We're going to be talking with Professor Ruth Ben-Ghiat very shortly about Donald Trump's penchant for dictator-like strongmen. And, of course, how a dictator-like strongman like Putin has turned Russia into a kleptocracy. Not an actual capitalist society. We're also going to have TV's Frank Conniff of Mystery Science Theater on for the entirety of Hour 2, where we will be answering your questions about life, your personal relationships, and complex tax issues. Frank is available to you for anything you need. He's also licensed for shiatsu for public and private events. We got a lot coming up, and it was a crazy day. For the next 3 hours, you become a part of the show at 866-997-4748, 866-997-GRIT. Chris Hauselt's our executive producer. Thea Harper's our associate producer. Let's just jump right into it. If I was Donald Trump and my daughter Ivanka's husband Jared was given $2 billion by Prince Mohammed bin Salman after we'd both helped the prince get away with murder, and Jared still wouldn't loan me $464 million, honestly, I would start being attracted to my other daughter. I'm just going to say it. I don't care. Now, let's get to the news of the day. So much horror overseas that I cannot in good conscience mock the crazy over here, but I will try to. A week after Vladimir Putin's fake election, we see a horrific terror attack in Moscow. Russia's Federal Security Service has now said that 60 people have died and over 100 were wounded at this attack. At the Moscow Concert Hall, plumes of black smoke were rising from this. It's a 6,000-person venue. There are many videos shot inside all over social media with the sounds of gunshots, people wounded, people screaming. This, of course, comes a week after he cements his grip on power with the ongoing war in Ukraine. So imagine the world's surprise when ISIS claimed responsibility late this afternoon for the attack. That, again, has left at least 60 dead. They've released a short statement published by ISIS-affiliated news agency Amaq on Telegram. They did not provide any evidence to support that they actually were the ones who did it. So no one knows for sure what was behind this. But I want to play you a tape of Donald Trump 3 years ago where he is boasting, as he's been doing nonstop on the campaign trail, about how we're the ones who defeated ISIS, 100% of the caliphate. Give a listen.
Forget, we defeated this group, largely, defeated ISIS, 100% of the caliphate, 100%. And we wanted to do 100%.
That's Donald Trump as president in 2019. In November of 2019, NBC News reported that senators of both parties were demanding answers from the Trump White House about how many ISIS prisoners were allowed to escape from the Kurdish-run detention centers in Syria. Remember when Trump pulled our forces out and turned our bases over to the Russian military or the Turkish military? Well, Senators Mark Warner and Susan Collins said they have grave concern that numerous Islamic State detainees had been run in these prisons by our Kurdish partners, and they had been allowed to escape, like thousands of them. And after Trump cleared the way for the Turkish military action against the Kurds, the Kurdish officials told NBC staffing the detention camps would no longer be a top priority. So if this really is ISIS taking credit for this terror attack, you can point your fingers at Donald Trump, who handed thousands of ISIS prisoners over to Turkey so they would let them loose. Now, in the video footage of the attack, it shows guys in camouflage opening fire with automatic weapons. Someone threw a grenade of some kind or a bomb, which started the fire. The venue is partially collapsed at this point. According to the Kremlin, Vladimir Putin was informed about the attack. He's being kept updated. But earlier this month, the U.S. Embassy in Russia said they were monitoring reports that extremists have imminent plans to target large gatherings in Moscow. This is back March 7th, including concerts. The embassy warned U.S. citizens in Russia to avoid any large gatherings. They put this out March 7th. Clearly, American intel picked up signals about something being planned, and they apparently passed it on to their Russian counterparts, which is the law here in America. You have a duty to inform on credible terrorism threats. Now, in a speech the other day to Russia's Federal Security Agency, Putin referred to the embassy's warnings about these potential terror attacks. He said they were provocative and said these actions resemble outright blackmail and the intention to intimidate and destabilize our society. Can we just talk about the fact that maybe, just maybe, this guy Putin's not good at his job? Now, they were warned about an ISIS attack on Moscow 2 weeks ago. Putin dismissed it. Our intel either knows more about what's going on in Russia than theirs does. We don't know. But Ukraine has been in war with Russia for more than 2 years now. They denied having any involvement in this. The Ukrainian presidential advisor Podolyak wrote in a post on Twitter, Ukraine has never resorted to the use of terrorist methods, and he believed Russia would use the attack to justify the ongoing conflict and scale up their operations as part of a military propaganda effort against Ukraine. No word yet on if Putin is trying to blame this on the Ukrainians. Hamas put out a statement condemning the terror attack. I did not. Did you have this on your bingo card? Hamas. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, we in the Islamic resistance movement condemn in the strongest terms the terrorist attack that targeted civilians in the Russian capital, Moscow, and left dozens dead and wounded. Wow, guys, what a great gesture. How about releasing the goddamn hostages, please? We're fighting harder for the lives of Palestinians than you are. Now, we also have to remember that Putin's recent national security incompetence is just incredible. I mean, he really overestimated how easy it would be to invade and conquer Ukraine. Thought they would just sweep into Kyiv, be greeted as liberators. He allowed the guy that used to run the Wagner Group, Prigozhin, to pretty much lead a mutiny all the way up to his doorstep before calming it and then murdering Prigozhin, blowing up a plane. And he blew off intelligence on a terrorist attack in Moscow and failed to defend his own people. I mean, the U.S. Embassy warned them a couple of weeks ago they planned to target big gatherings, including concerts. Putin's not good at his job. Meanwhile, overseas, Princess Kate, Princess of Wales, emerged from the shadow of internet speculation with the rather sobering news that she's undergoing chemotherapy for cancer discovered during her January abdominal surgery. Considering she's undergoing treatment for cancer, and King Charles, her father-in-law, is undergoing chemotherapy for treatment of cancer, we're going to do this really weird thing and say we wish them both a swift and full recovery and not fucking dwell on it because they have cancer. Let them heal in peace. Jesus. Right? Let me bring it back to the crazy over here. Because over here, at least, there's a bit of comedy with our tragedy. Earlier today, I thought the story of the day would be the Democrats just saved the Republicans and kept the government open. We got 112 Republicans join Democrats this time to help keep our government open. It's great. Wow, we triumphed over dysfunction. That's what I thought early in the day. And then Lady Blah Blah herself, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Supercharged Marge, came out and filed a motion to vacate the House Speaker's chair. Yes, you know, back in the Kevin McCarthy wars of early 2023, when one of the hoops he jumped through was agreeing that one member of the caucus could file a motion to vacate and call for a vote for a new speaker. Just one. He agreed to it. It destroyed his political career. And now, 6 months later, Marjorie Taylor Greene is trying to do it to the guy who replaced him. The first step towards a potential vote to remove Mike Johnson. And she said she'll force the vote if Johnson brings Ukraine aid of any kind to the floor. This is the revolt, and Marjorie Taylor Greene is revolting. This is the curse of Kevin McCarthy's ghost. It means we're about to get another round of ridiculous distraction and double talk and jive from the party that controls the House of Representatives. This is what we get when they're in power, guys. We get dysfunction. We get jerk-offs wasting our time for fundraising purposes. That's all this is. I mean, just 6 months ago, they removed Kevin McCarthy as Speaker. They still are sickened from that episode. No one wants to repeat that. Now, Supercharge Marge, however, thinks that she can fundraise off of this. And I guarantee you, it's never going to come to a vote. This is just Marjorie Taylor Greene getting attention for herself. This is how our politics work. Here's Congressman Mike Lawler, clip A3. He told Fox News he's not all that impressed with Marge's stunt motion to remove Mike Johnson as House Speaker.
The only way to really advance the conservative movement is to win elections. And doing stunts like this actually undermines our ability to win elections.
Well, probably get her reelected, though.
Sure, in an R plus 30. Yeah. But you know what? The difference between having a Republican majority and not is seats like mine. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden won my district by 10 points.
That's it. And she's too dumb to know. And the Freedom Caucus is not going to get behind any of this. They said this week they strongly disagree with Mike Johnson not shutting down the government. But no one's come forward to join Marjorie Greene in doing this. I swear to you, she did it to fundraise and send out emails. Over on Newsmax, here's Marge herself saying she don't give a flying Frito if people are mad over her overt fundraising effort. A4.
Are in the similar way that we saw Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz, who pulled the trigger on Kevin McCarthy. A lot of members were furious with him for fundraising off of this. Critics are now saying you're fundraising off of this maneuver. What's your response to that?
Well, I think every single member of Congress is fundraising right now. It's an election year. Fundraising is part of our job. So I'm not even going to get into those types of questions. And of course, I would ask people to support me when I'm doing the very difficult work to bring a Republican Speaker of the House that won't get rolled by Chuck Schumer, that won't give in those meetings with the four corners, that is not going to be like Mitch McConnell, who has a 6% approval rating by Republican voters. So I'm not going to be ashamed or apologize for asking for support and doing the hard work it takes to get a better Republican Speaker.
For years, they cultivated their crazies. They used their crazies. They deployed their crazies. But then they started electing their crazies to their own ranks. And now they can't control their crazies. And their crazies are cannibalizing the entire beast. Now, Democrats, they'll save Mike Johnson if this vote ever actually happens. But you know, if they do, they'll want to vote on Ukraine aid in return, which will only make them want to have a motion to vacate again and again and again. And if that wasn't crazy enough, today, Mike Johnson got more bad news because Congressman Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin, Republican, said he's going to resign from Congress on April 19th. This means the GOP is now only going to have a one-seat majority in the House, which means after that, they're not going to be able to pass anything without Democratic votes. Fortunately, they don't want to pass anything. They are just here to sell outrage on cable news in exchange for votes. I want to play you Laura Ingraham. That's how special this moment is. I'm going to play you Laura Ingraham. She was so upset, she almost achieved a second facial expression. Here she is explaining exactly why Mike Gallagher left while she blames Speaker Mike Johnson.
Well, Mike Gallagher made an affirmative decision to give Democrats more power since the GOP majority will now be down to one. So, what if someone has a delayed flight, get sick? There is zero room for error. And this is key. Had Gallagher walked out today, Wisconsin would have been able to have a special emergency election to fill his seat. But now, because he's putting it off till April 19th, it remains vacant until next year.
Mm-hmm.
Again, mm-hmm. This pains me to say this. Thanks, Mike. Hope future Speaker Hakeem Jeffries sent you a nice fruit basket today.
Believe me, these guys aren't leaving because of Mike Johnson. Now, in the midst of this, some liberals got some agita today because Donald Trump's social media outlet, Truth Social, was acquired by Digital World, a shell company that's founded by some wealthy pals of Donnie. So this merger pushed Donald Trump's 60% stake in Truth Social through the roof by several billion dollars, in theory. But it has no immediate effect on Trump's complete inability to raise $454 million bond by Monday, according to his lawyers. You'd think it might be easier to get a loan because he has potentially these billions of dollars that he'll have once this goes through, right? When my back pension comes in. But Trump already lie-boasted on Truth Social that he has, through hard work, talent, and luck, gathered almost $500 million in cash. He has not. And everyone's celebrating about Donald Trump's business brilliance today. Let's see what happens when he gets this good news and still nobody wants to loan him $500 million. Yeah. Why, it's almost like he only built Truth Social to have a property he could sell, like Current TV. In the midst of all of this, George Santos announced he's leaving the Republican Party. That's right. When that ghoul, when your party is so lost that George Santos has the self-esteem to leave. Guys, oof, that's got to hurt. I mean, when even George Santos is not self-loathing enough to remain in your ranks in the midst of it, what could steal the headlines anymore? NBC News announcing they've just hired Ronna McDaniel, the former RNC committee chair, who has completely been attacking the network for years, and their journalists called them fake news, lied about the 2020 vote. They've hired her to be an on-air commentator before the next election. She left the RNC earlier this month after Donald Trump forced her out after she had led the organization and been blindly obedient to Donald Trump. She was a big lie pusher, and she admitted it to the January 6th committee. She removed her maiden name of Romney from her name because Trump didn't like her Uncle Mitt. You understand, she didn't drop the name Romney for her husband. She was Ronna Romney McDaniel, but she changed her name for a man who's not her husband. You show me loyalty like that. And Trump stabbed her in the back anyway. So NBC hiring her, it's obvious they're trying to go after the conservative demographic. I mean, I don't know why liberals are upset by this. This is something they've always done. CNN does the same thing. This woman is a loyal backer of the president who stabbed her in the back. This is both a move by NBC to try to show that they welcome all voices, and it's also them eyeing a potential return to Trump in the White House. By hiring her, I know why you're angry. People are saying that MSNBC is sending this message. Attacking democracy is okay. I mean, you're erasing the history of what Trump did. You pretend to care about January 6th, but then you pay a big lie propagator to work for you. You like authoritarianism. I read all the liberal critiques all day. I understand it, my enraged friends, but understand this. Yes, people who participate in plots to overthrow democracy should not be rewarded with jobs in the media. I get it. But they have to hire pro-Trump people for credibility. Not because the people are credible, for their own credibility. Look, how many liberals are on Fox? How many? All week long. Jessica Tarlov and what? Occasionally Donna Brazile on the weekends. MSNBC has Joe Scarborough and George Will and Tim Miller and Nicole Wallace and now this person and all the other, the guys from The Bulwark, Charlie Sykes. I approve of this for two reasons. I'll tell you why. First off, I know from working in TV, it's really hard to book pro-Trump conservatives in New York City who can actually defend Trump on camera without seeming like they have rabies. Finding an articulate Republican professional who supports Trump, you know how hard that is in New York State? You know how impossible that is in California? I mean, who are doing these things not just to be a shill? Willing to work for MSNBC? Guys, let her be the Trump spokesperson. She's a horrible human being. She has a long history attacking the channel that's now going to be paying her. She's attacked them for spreading lies and being propagandists. This lady, McDaniel, she was on the phone call in 2020 to pressure the Michigan County officials to not certify the vote from the Detroit area. To steal the vote of black Americans, where Biden had a lead. She's told the officials, don't sign it, we'll get your attorneys. And the Michigan Department of State's office condemned her lies about voter fraud. Said they had no merit. She's a liar. She's a fraud. She turned her back on who she really is. She's a terrible person. She's someone Donald Trump stabbed in the back for her loyalty. She's the perfect spokesperson for the current Republican Party of Trump. Guys, let Trump's worst liars be his most prominent media spokespeople. Let the extreme lunatic caucus attack the lunatic caucus. Democrats will keep Mike Johnson in place as Marjorie Taylor Greene's punching bag. Speaker Mike Johnson is about to drop to a one-vote majority, another resignation, another Republican budget cave civil war, another motion to vacate a Speaker of the House. They're cannibalizing each other alive. Let the Biden impeachment inquiry tattoo them all as liars, and wretched ones at that. Right now, the Trump family is engaged in the greatest dine and dash ever with the remains of the RNC. So remember, for the next 6 months, let them do it. Stop and smell the train wreck. Let Trump try to dangle ever-declining shares of his worthless site. See who pays for what Truth Social will be once Trump's not on it anymore. When he cashes out to pay his legal bills, that stock's going to tank. And the big RNC donors are hiding from Donald Trump like 15-year-old girls hiding from him backstage at a teenage beauty pageant. Let them burn the whole party down. Marge, in the immortal words of the Bloodhound Gang, "The roof, the roof, the roof is on fire. We don't need no water. Let the motherfucker burn. Burn, motherfucker, burn." Here endeth the lesson. We want to know what you think. We're at 866-997-4748, 866-997-GRIT. We'll be right back with your calls and Professor Ruth Ben-Ghiat. This is SiriusXM.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This is SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang. Thank you so much for joining us here on Channel 127. Let me quote our next guest for her excellent piece on CNN.com. Vladimir Putin, Erdogan, Viktor Orban, Adolf Hitler, Xi Jinping, Kim Jong-un, Saddam Hussein. What do they have in common? All of these authoritarians have reportedly drawn praise from former U.S. President and now GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump, who has promised Americans that he, too, will be a dictator on day one of his time in office. This essential piece in CNN.com is called Trump's Praise of Dictators Tells Us All We Need to Know, and it's written by one of the best writers on our current political landscape. Professor Ruth Ben-Ghiat teaches history and Italian studies at New York University. She writes about fascism and authoritarianism and propaganda. She's the author or editor of seven books, including Strong Men, Mussolini to the Present. A lot of you guys know her from her work on MSNBC. She also writes for CNN, The Atlantic, and The Washington Post. And I highly recommend her Substack newsletter, which she began in the wake of the January 6th attack. It's called Lucid. I've always wanted to book the good professor on this program. It's a great pleasure to welcome Ruth Ben-Ghiat to SiriusXM.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much. And thank you for this excellent piece. In your recent article for CNN, you say Trump's repeated elevation of dictators as models of leadership should be understood as part of a re-education strategy, conditioning Americans to see authoritarianism as a superior form of government to democracy. That is strongman propaganda 101, isn't it? How does this work?
Yeah, so Trump's, you know, he's a superb marketer. He's a superb propagandist. And he has been waging a kind of conditioning or re-education campaign for years now. And there's many vectors it has. One is getting Americans to change the way they see violence.
Yes.
As something that can be patriotic. And so now the thugs who perpetrated January 6th are hostages, and and patriots, but it's also a broader thing about changing the way Americans feel about democracy and its opposite. So, you know, trying to delegitimize Biden and depict Biden and democracy, American democracy, as corrupt, and holding up the worst murderers and people on the earth as, including Hitler, who he admired. He kept a, you know, he kept a book of Hitler's speeches by his bedside. His first wife said, "I believe that." So he's been trying to really change the way Americans feel about Hitler and Mussolini, and it's a horrible tragedy because in World War II, many Americans lost their lives fighting these people. And now here's Trump saying, no, this is what we should want for our country, and I'm going to deliver that to you.
It's a very different tone from the jingoism we all grew up with. I mean, back then, our right-wing authoritarians were always against their authoritarians. But now, nations that could be in opposition to America are praised, as you put it. Thus, she, in Trump's telling, is strong like granite. He runs 1.4 billion people with an iron hand. And Putin is a genius for taking over a country, really a vast, vast location, a great piece of land. I mean, Trump called the Russian invasion of Ukraine genius within days. It's really hard to imagine Republicans from the era of Reagan ever speaking in such glowing terms about foreign authoritarians.
Well, the reason I wrote Strongman is as a first generation American and who saw very clearly what Trump was in 2015 already, because I studied fascism for years. And he has, unfortunately for us, the same personality type as all of these awful leaders, past and present. And one of the things they are is transactional. So at a certain level, it's not even about left versus right. And so that's why he holds up far right, you know, leaders like Orban, as well as a communist, even though he's saying that, we've got to, you know, root out these vermin communists in our country. But then he's boasting that he accepted money, you know, $5 million for, quote, services. I'm still trying to wait for someone in the media to ask him what these services were. From communist China, and he's very open about it. So it doesn't, there's no ideology, there's no values, there's no aspirations. It's just about money and power. It doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum. It could be North Korea, it could, you know, so that tells you a lot too. It's just, he has no values. He's totally destructive. And that's what authoritarians are like.
But how does he turn it into such moral camouflage? I mean, if Hillary Clinton had secretly had a Russian bank account, I mean, a Chinese bank account, and was secretly paid by the Chinese government while working in the White House, we'd never hear the end of it. And there would have been impeachment hearings long ago. How does Donald Trump make this barely an afterthought when he will go in front of these rallies and rage against China, knowing full well there's a media infrastructure that guarantees those people cheering him will probably never know he was paid by China?
This is the charismatic demagogue, and they pull off the biggest scams. They say one thing to some, you know, one audience in the morning and the opposite at night. And the first person to do this scams was Mussolini, who I've spent many years studying. And here's Mussolini was a total, he was a serial rapist. He was a criminal, but he was an atheist. He hated the church. And yet he was the one who was acclaimed by the Vatican as a man of providence. He was the one who made the Vatican, the Lateran Accords with the Vatican, and made them an independent state. And so that's just one of the scams where these very depraved, immoral, not pious individuals are acclaimed by religious institutions. And that gives them a cover. I'm mentioning that because you talked about morals.
Yes.
But it's the same in other areas, too, just like the hypocrisy where he's, you know, anti-communist, but then people are cheering him even though he took money from communists.
Here's Kim Jong-un. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're all like this. They all have these strange constituencies composed of like mafiosi and housewives and, you know, just all kinds of different people. And the thing they all have in common is that they adore their leader. And so Trump has built very successfully a personality cult. And this is a key to what everything you're talking about here. And the personality cult is that he's the man of the people. So he's relatable. He's entertaining, but he's a man above all other men. He's the martyr. He's the victim, but he's the defender. And so Trump, I watched in horror at 2015, 16, 17, as Trump did all the things that I had studied for other leaders. And that's why I wrote this book, which goes from Mussolini up to Trump, and Trump's in the book. It's the first book that puts him in historical context with all these other people, not saying he is Hitler, but showing that certain things recur in history, like these personality cults, and that's how they get away with these scams.
Do you think he has a talent for it? Or is it something he learned? Is it something he's learned and cultivated? He's certainly been coached by people who know the playbook.
Totally. In fact, I think with everything that's come out with all investigations, Americans are more aware. But Trump, he has a gift. He's a superb communicator. He knows exactly how to reach people. He knows how to say and be what they want him to be. That's one of the secrets of this type of personality, because they're narcissists and they crave attention and they know how to be exactly what people need them to be. But they learn from each other. Hitler was so enamored of Mussolini because Mussolini got to power so quickly. He had a bust of Mussolini on his desk in the 1920s when he was not able to get to power fast. And other Nazis would make fun of him because he was like in love with Mussolini. He was writing him for autographed pictures. And Mussolini was like, who is this loser? You know, and later things changed a lot. But all this to say, they always learn from each other. So Trump, when he's holding up Putin and he's telling himself that this is the model he wants to emulate, and he's also telling Americans that this is the kind of governance that he will give them. They watch what especially they watch what each other gets away with. So she is watching what Putin's getting away with, and there's a whole chain of illegal actions that can happen.
I mean, Donald Trump's first action was moving out the bust of Martin Luther King and moving in the oil painting of Andrew Jackson into the Oval Office. But you're right. They do admire each other. They learn from each other. And the similarities are very stark and need to be studied and talked about. And I want to talk about your newest piece on Substack, in your Lucid Substack, which I recommend really highly. Autocracy Means Plunder in Russia and Beyond. As we've been talking all week about the installation of Trump's unqualified daughter-in-law at the RNC to essentially turn it into Trump's GoFundMe, I wanted to ask you about this word plunder and why the notion of plunder is a very useful concept to discuss the intentions of autocrats and the tragic outcomes of their actions.
Because these types of leaders are not like other heads of state. They are all about their own personal power, and what they do is they take control of state and party agencies and entities, and they turn them into things that further their own personal financial or legal needs. So this style of governance, which in my book is called personalist, it's literally personalist governance. Mm-hmm. It means that the personal, financial, and legal needs of the leader come to determine everything that's done for the party, and if they're, you know, the head of state, so foreign policy, where they make private deals with other autocrats, and national policy. So what they do is they have these kind of inner sanctums where they have family members and sycophants and flatterers, and we saw this in America with Trump's presidency the first time. And so they use these family members, they install them, and usually it's sons-in-law. And I have a whole like paragraph in my book about sons-in-law who get the most corrupt jobs.
Yep.
Like Pinochet in Chile, he privatized the economy because of, you know, his U.S.-backed coup, and they had these neoliberal policies. Who did he put in charge of privatizations? His two sons-in-law. So there's like a whole line of these people up to Jared Kushner. So now we have Lara Trump, who's been put in charge of the RNC so that it can be sacked or plundered.
Yes. Yes.
And so donors are giving money, but the money is being diverted or plundered by the Trump crime family and diverted to pay his personal bills.
Right in the open.
And so I had this in mind when I wrote this essay, which then is about Putin, because Putin's been there for 20 years. He has a real regime. He's been there as long as Mussolini. And so here we see what happens over time when a regime becomes complete, let's say. And so Putin has actually sacked and plundered like Gazprom, which is the huge energy conglomerate. And so they've been removing, he and his cronies take the state agency and they remove money from it. They impoverish it. And the money goes to their private offshore accounts. So it's the same mechanism of plunder. And if Trump gets back to the White House, we're going to see this happen to all kinds of entities. They're going to be plundered for personal gain because the authoritarian governance, you have to make air quotes, they couldn't care less about public welfare. It's about using public office to enrich yourself and your family.
Amen. So let me ask about that then, because in your latest piece on autocracy and the Russian invasion of Ukraine, you point out, quote, an advantage Russia currently holds, the support of the Republican Party of America. I agree, but let me ask the really dumb question. Why is the support of the Republican Party an advantage for Russia? And what are the consequences of the GOP's obedience?
Well, right now, they're literally trying to game the conflict for Putin, because Putin can't really win it on its own. I mean, Putin also has, as I point out, you know, he has assistance from Iran and other countries, other autocracies that are helping him. So he's got, you know, a lot of ammunition, and he's been able to up his defense production. But he can't do anything in a free and fair manner. So the Republican Party, by holding up arms for Ukraine, is trying to, in a sense, game the conflict, to engineer the conflict in ways that are going to help Putin win. And
Yes. And
this is important because it's the Republican Party is actually, if it were its own state, and this is very scary, its foreign policy would be that of an autocracy. It's already like Viktor Orban. When he came, he didn't meet with Biden. He went to Trump, and he met with the Heritage Foundation, and he met with members of the GOP. And the GOP has these ties now with neo-fascists in Italy, with, again, these people in Hungary. And so there's a whole like fascist international that stretches and is funded often by Putin. So the GOP is immersed in all of this, and they think that they're setting up a new autocratic order, and defeating democracy in the U.S. is like the center of this, because the U.S. has done a lot of bad things in its history against democracies, but it's also been an enormous defender of democracy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's the prize. That's the world prize. If you can take down U.S. democracy, then every autocrat in the entire world will be enabled.
Do you consider Vladimir Putin to be a kleptocrat?
Yeah, and I get frustrated that this is not, every time you say Putin or Russia, you should talk about it as a kleptocracy. That doesn't mean
we still have American media calling it a capitalist society, which it's not. It's strictly gangsters, right?
Yeah, in kleptocracy, it's when crime has been institutionalized, when legal and illegal activities are completely merged, and when the state operates. It doesn't mean that individual Russians are all criminals. That's not what I mean at all. A kleptocracy is a form of government. And North Korea is one, because North Korea gets 50% of its national earnings now from cybercrime. So that kind of counts. and so Putin, it's illicit earnings that are the core of the economy. And when criminal gangs who are like tied to Putin and the Wagner Group, Prigozhin got murdered, but the Wagner Group is a criminal entity. And it plunders. It operates all over the world, and it plunders, and it backs, you know, illicit gangs. And so all of this criminal activity is what funds the state, and thus is funding the war on Ukraine. So it's really important that we see Putin as a criminal leader. But that seems to be hard for many in the media to put that out there. And it's very dangerous to talk about it. That's what the people who get murdered are, people who go after his corruption. That's what exactly. They care about the most.
As Mr. Navalny knows and as Mr. Prigozhin knows, yeah. what is the Wagner Group up to now? Are they still operating in Africa, and are they still loyal to Putin after his very obvious murder in the air of Prigozhin?
They are still operating. I'm not an expert on them right now, but they're still operating, and they were purged. And that's a classic thing after, you know, that's what dictators do. They periodically do purges, which can happen. You were talking before about the RNC being purged, right?
Yes.
Trump has purges all the time. The difference is, you know, in a true regime, the people are killed or they go to prison or they're forced into exile. So the Wagner Group was purged, of course. That was obvious that was going to happen, but it has to still operate under different, perhaps under more controlled circumstances, but it's too valuable a channel of illicit funds to be disbanded.
I'm so grateful to you for making the time to join us. I've been looking forward to this conversation for such a long time. Let me ask you one last question pertaining to your expertise on authoritarians. What are the conditions that generally make them finally fall?
Oh, good question. You know, a lot of it depends how long they've been there. And unfortunately, once they get in, most of them stay for a long time. And sometimes the conditions are that they have made life so unbearable. They've made so many mistakes, like Putin's made a ton of mistakes, because there's a syndrome they get into. The longer they're there, the more paranoid they are, and the less they listen to people. So the most recent thing is that Putin had U.S. intelligence about being warned of a terrorist attack. Mm-hmm. That happened. He doesn't listen. Netanyahu was warned about Hamas starting an operation. They don't listen.
Yep.
And Mussolini didn't listen. I mean, I could go through.
Bush and Cheney were warned in August 6, 2001.
Yeah, they don't listen. But in an authoritarian circumstance, they have the power to only surround themselves. They're not beholden to parliament. They're not beholden to the press. And so they make terrible decisions, and that can be their undoing, to answer your question. Mm-hmm.
Ruth Benguiat, it's such an honor to have you on our show. Her book, once again, is quite essential, and it is called, I want to get the Strongman Mussolini to the Present. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, the CNN piece is going to be shared on my Twitter. It's called Trump's Praise of Dictators Tells Us All We Need to Know. Hope to have you back again. It's going to be a very interesting few months.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back with your calls. We're at 866-997-4748. 866-997-GRIT.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We are back. We have a lot of people on hold. Let's get to some of the calls while we can. Victor in Virginia, thank you so much for waiting. You're on Progress. Hello.
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 Yes, can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Yes, sir.
Okay, I'd like to talk about a movie I saw recently. It was an Oscar-nominated short. It's called Red, White, and Blue.
Okay.
And it's about abortion. It's about a woman in Arkansas who needs an abortion.
Yes.
It stars Brittany Snow, who was in the Pitch Perfect movies.
Okay.
And it was produced, one of the producers was Samantha Bee.
Okay.
You're familiar with Samantha Bee, I suppose.
Love her. Yes, love her.
I thought you would. So I'm saying, I'm hoping you could see it. It's available for streaming now. You just Google Red, White, and Blue movie. It pops right up.
Where can you see it?
It's $2. It's okay. 24 minutes. Well worth $2.
Yeah, this is about the woman who has to cross state lines to get an abortion, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard about this film.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you should see it. And also, okay. I'd like you to tell your listeners that they should see it as well. It could, you know, to some extent, fire up the base. And it's really a defense of abortion and an attack on the anti-choice people.
What I like is that as a man, this film seems to have really had an impact on you.
Oh, yes. But, you know, I can't imagine seeing it and it not having an impact. It was terrifically done. I think it didn't win the Oscar, which I think was partly because Hollywood didn't want to really, you know, handle that political issue that much.
You might be right. Although the film that did win that Oscar was really special. The Wonderful World of Henry Sugar was by Wes Anderson. It's a great, great film. But can I ask you, Victor, have women's abortion rights always been something that was important to you as a man, or is that something that's evolved in you over time?
I would say, you know, not the top thing on my radar. I feel like I'm very much pro-choice now in this.
Right on. Well, I look forward to seeing the film. Thank you very much for the good review.
Okay. Yeah, please, if you could see it.
Yeah, Red, White, and Blue. I definitely want to see it. And now that I know I can rent it for $2, I'll do that in L.A. this weekend. Thank you so much for the call. We are at 866-997-4748. Let me go to Dave in Washington on line 6. Dave, thanks for waiting. You're on Progress.
Hey, John. Long time no talk.
How you doing, man?
Good. I'm doing good. I've caught up on all my Star Wars stuff. But, hey, I just wanted to call and mention something because, you know, Rachel Maddow, she did a great rundown on how Trump takes money and then changes political opinions. Political positions, really, right?
Just happened with TikTok,
and
yeah.
I was like, and I guess with Anheuser-Busch as well and the boycott mm-hmm. of Bud Light. But anyways, I just felt something was missing, right? And it's something that I could contribute to this comprehension of Trump and the threat he represents. And I believe it's this, okay? And I was going to ask Ro Khanna this question about the U.N., why does Russia and China, they did not abstain from the U.S. call for a ceasefire in Gaza. They mm-hmm. rejected it. They rejected it, right? But yeah. I was like, that's not fair. Ro Khanna, I respect him. He's a great congressman. And it's not fair. Congress people rely on experts for that sort of information, right? So I didn't ask him. And here's the thing. Trump. There is one thing he does know from his pattern, from my pattern of watching him as president, right?
Tell me.
He understands there are things of equal value, if not more value, than money. He does understand that.
And what, really? Trump does? Okay, you can convince me. I'm open to being convinced of this. Go on.
Well, and a lot of people are probably thinking, oh, big deal. I mean, everybody knows that. Well, but here's the thing, though. Trump is willing to barter quid pro quo and negotiate with dictators. And that's why China and Russia, they're not abstaining. They are outright rejecting U.S. proposals to do what they themselves also tried to do. Do you understand? Okay. Russia and China called for a ceasefire and all that stuff. Now when the U.S. does it, you know, in the release of the hostages. When the U.S. does it, they're rejecting it.
And it's strange, isn't it? It's almost like the superpowers have all agreed to take turns making sure nothing gets better.
Well, and here's, you know, why I say Trump, and it's really symbiotic between Trump and Putin and Trump and Xi. They need each other bad because Russia's, you know, Ukraine is not the end of their designs. And, you know, and this explains why Macron even said, look, we might have to put French soldiers in the Ukraine, right?
Yeah, that was crazy.
You know,
yeah.
Well, and the reason why is because, you know, the time is not on our side. They need, Xi and Putin need Trump back in there so they can just keep giving him victory after victory after victory when really none of it is a victory. What they're going to get him to do is sell out all our standards and norms and the post-World War II order. Trump is someone they need to compromise all that, right? Because
yeah.
What Putin, and you know, and Ruth Ben Ghiat brought it up. Look, I'll just give you an example. This,
okay.
This ISIS Khorasan, or Islamic State Khorasan, right? They're out of Afghanistan. I already know because I read a report, a news report, though, from Russia that
right.
About a couple weeks ago that said they identified IS, Islamic State Khorasan, as the threat.
Okay.
But they said they were going to target American, you know, the
in Russia?
You know, Americans. Yeah.
They were going to target Americans in Russia?
Right. And I'm like, okay, that's just propaganda, right? That's just propaganda. But here's the thing, though. Putin has already, he buttresses Trump every chance he gets. Like, when Putin won president, he said, he mentioned Trump is getting basically flayed by the deep state, right? I mean, that's basically what he said. You know,
yeah, it was.
America's not a democracy. America's not a democracy because they're using, Biden is using all these things to keep Trump
right.
out of running.
Let's bring it on home. Let's tie all these threads together now. Let's do it. Let's bring it on home for the folks. So what does all this mean?
Okay.
Where are you taking us?
Well, here's what Russia's going to do. They're going to say that Biden, the Biden administration pulled out too quick from Afghanistan. America's incompetent, bereft of any real moral compass or value. Blah blah blah. The same old crap. And then he's going to he's just going to use it. He's going to use it to, you know. Extend Russian military power.
I think you're right. I mean, I don't know how he's going to finagle that, but everyone's waiting to see how somehow Putin turns this unspeakable tragedy into we need more troops to invade Ukraine. Dave, thank you so much for the call. Let me get one more call in really quick before we get to our guest, Mr. Conniff. Let me go to Sean in Cali. Sean on line 5. Welcome. You're on Progress.
Hey, Brother John, great show, and Ruth Ben Ghiat is just a goddess in my mind.
I have wanted her on this show for so long, you have no idea. I was so delighted to get her.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And I have a book club with guys, you know, so smart, professors and stuff. I don't know why I'm in the book club, but when I picked the book, I picked her book, and they loved it, and we tore it apart in a very beautiful way, as book clubs should do. But this is where we are. This is where we are. And when it comes to Ukraine, right? I mean, I can't even believe. That's one part that really surprises me about Republicans. But that's when you know the Republican Party is no longer any moderate Republicans, no decent Republicans in power. They're all off the charts MAGA, right? Because how could you support Vladimir Putin doing that in Ukraine? This changes the whole world. I mean, and there's another little detail. I mean, I'm surprised Dave didn't say it because he always covers everything from Dave from Washington. But I'm just kidding. But you can't cover everything, which is Vladimir Putin is using a atomic base, atomic reactor to hide his people around because we can't attack it, right? No one can Ukraine can't attack it. No one can attack it because it will cause another Chernobyl, right?
You're right.
This is what we're up against. We're up against a fucking Vladimir Putin who's a scum of the earth who wants to bring us into this area. And so remember this, people. This is my thing. And Mr. Conniff, I know, is waiting and stuff. So
yes.
This is the thing, is that we as voters make one decision, a bunch of decisions to vote, but it's really just one for president. That president makes thousands of decisions. If we fuck this up, John, Vladimir Putin is going to ejaculate all over Europe. And keep that in your mind.
Well, thank you for that imagery. That's exactly what I needed going into the weekend, of Vladimir Putin ejaculating all over. I think you might find that Vladimir Putin is in the process of fucking things up quite badly himself. And I don't know how he's going to quell the kind of civilian protests he gets after this particular
boom
disaster.
We gave
yeah
him the info.
Sean, thank
we
you very much.
The info.
I know. We warned him, just like they warned Bush and Cheney, just like they warned Netanyahu. I know.
Did he say Vladimir Putin ejaculating all over Europe?
Yeah, and I had just managed to get it out of my brain, but you brought the imagery back, and I want to thank you for that.
I mean, how did we come to this?
Well,
I'm finished.
I know. It sounds like Donald Trump's fantasy. You know, I need
mean,
someone
was,
more.
That was the climax of the show for me.
Oh, how can you please? Really? These are nice people here. I'm trying to bring on Frank Conniff, and you're doing that? He's not going to know if he's coming or going. Frank Conniff is a comedy writer and performer who began his TV career writing for the Peabody Award-winning Comedy Central series Mystery Science Theater 3000, where he also played TV's Frank, the bumbling yet lovable mad scientist sidekick. Mr. Conniff went on to be a writer, producer, and actor on the ABC TV series Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I've had the great pleasure of working with him on TV, on stage, and on the radio. Please, people of Earth, welcome back TV's Frank.
Hey, John. off to a great start already before I'm even on the air. Talking about Putin jizz.
Yeah,
all
isn't
over
that great?
Europe.
That's
it's
terrific.
I love it. And, you know,
it's like they
I
know
have
you're
to say,
coming.
I was worried about if you think Stalin's purges were bad, this is...
It's like they know you're coming and they start with the vulgar bodily fluid jokes. The loons, Norman, the loons.
I love always wait for the Putin ruble shot.
Now, I want to remind everybody, if you don't watch all of the Mads Are Back shows that are streaming online, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a bloodbath for the whole nation. For the comedy world, less, but it'll be a bloodbath no matter what. Frank, this has been a really, really insane week of really, really insane things, and the media keeps pretending it's all normal. I want to just start with where our week began with the Donald Trump's "it's going to be a bloodbath" comment. You said the proper context is that he's a sociopathic insurrectionist who'd be happy to see everyone who doesn't vote for him die a violent death, so please don't misconstrue his remarks.
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck is it with people going, oh, no, he didn't really say bloodbath. You got it wrong. As if everything he's ever done, forget about what he says. This man led a violent insurrection. So it's just so ridiculous to, oh, come on, don't. You're being unfair to him by saying bloodbath. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, this is why I keep calling it the era of what the fuck fatigue, because like our outrage circuits are burned out. We've been through so many what the fucks. I mean, just today you have this horrific attack in Moscow. You get the news that the Princess of Wales has cancer, just like her father-in-law has cancer. We barely managed to keep the government open again. 112 Republicans vote to keep our government running. So Marjorie Taylor Greene files a motion to vacate the House Speaker chair. While this is happening, Democrats say they'll save Mike Johnson if he saves Ukraine. Then another Republican announces he's going to retire from Congress next month, so Republicans will only have a one-seat majority. Then Trump sells Truth Social, but it looks like he'll never make any money off of it. George Santos quits the party, and MSNBC hires Ronna McDaniel. This is one day, Frank. This is one day of nonstop outrages and what the fucks.
John, you know, MSNBC, you know, they want balance in their coverage. You know, on the one hand, someone like you who is on there sometimes, you know, are talking about democracy and justice. And then but you have to get the point of view of the liar and the insurrectionist, someone who's never spoken the truth ever in her life or in her public life, at least, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty outrageous.
Let me quote you what you wrote. You said, hosts on MS spent the last few weeks ridiculing and disparaging Katie Britt. Are you going to do the same with Ronna McDaniel, who is just as awful? She's an insurrectionist, a serial liar, and the latest hire on your shitty fucking news network. I mean, I think you speak for many, Frank. People are not going to watch when she's on.
This is going to ruin the Andrea Mitchell show for me. And, you know, and I've always been pissed that there's only 4 hours of Morning Joe. Just think of it, just 4 hours. We can't have another 4 hours besides that before we, you know, we get to, as I've said this before, and it's MSNBC's platonic ideal of a progressive is an anti-Trump Republican. You know?
You're right. No, it's fair enough.
But in the case of Ronna McDaniel, she's not even an anti-Trump Republican. She's a Trump collaborator. And, you know, it's just, you know.
Well,
the glory days of when MSNBC gave Hugh Hewitt a show are over.
I know. Oh, how far we've fallen when they used to give Michael Savage shows. We're back in the golden days. Yes. Let me push back, Frank, because I love when we can find things to fight about. I get why MSNBC did it, and I kind of think good might come of it. Now, can I tell you why? I'll tell you why. From working with me how hard it is in the state of New York to book any kind of pro-Trump conservative who can read a teleprompter without their lips moving. You know how hard it is to get anyone to come on cable news or radio to defend Donald Trump, who doesn't sound like a rabid weasel. You know it's really hard to get those bookings, right?
Right. But why do you want those bookings in the first place? Why do we want to hear from these people who never speak the truth ever? Why do we want to hear from people lying?
Right.
Let
me answer that twofold. Number one, I always have believed these news networks are not liberal. They're terrified of being called liberal. And MSNBC wants to be able to say, we hired Joe Scarborough, Tim Miller, Nicole Wallace, George Will, everybody from The Bulwark, Charlie Sykes. So many conservatives work here. We're hiring her as well to show that we're fair and balanced. But on the bigger picture, Frank, would you want them to hire a Trump spokesperson who was good at their job, who was effective, who was honest and was able to make good points? I think having the shittiest liars be done. She's going to be awful at this job, Frank. She's not going to be facing the White House press corps. She's going to be squaring off in a cage match every night with Jen Psaki. They're going to eat her alive, and she's going to show how weak Trump's case is.
Who are these Trump spokespeople who are good at their jobs that you're talking about, who are honest and can articulate?
There's none. There's none. She's the best they could book. She's they're Rick Santorum.
They should not even be on the air. It's like, should in the 1940s, should the NBC Blue Network have given equal time to
you're approaching this like journalism. You're approaching this like ethical journalism. Their job is to get ratings. Jen Psaki cage match with this woman.
That's how
the industry works. Their mendacity. Go ahead.
Here's why I disagree with you. And you know, we used to have this argument all the time.
I know.
Ronna McDaniel, how does she bring ratings? Who's excited? Like I said last week on the show.
Hate watching.
Oh, boy.
Trump bring ratings?
Oh, boy. An hour of Claire McCaskill. I'm so excited. You know, it isn't ratings.
Hate watching.
It's these executives who run corporate media. They're conservative. They want to maintain the status quo. Not just the Fox executives, MSNBC and CNN executives all want Trump to win, not just because of ratings.
I know. I know.
They want their millionaires and they want their tax cuts.
I know. I agree.
Smart people like Rachel on the air, but that's just an illusion that they're presenting.
Oh, I know.
That they're a liberal, that there's
they'll
some
make
kind of,
more money. They'll do better. They'll have better ratings if Trump
and
is president.
And I know you've said this too. There is no liberal media.
There is no liberal media.
Yeah. It's not on MSNBC or CNN or the New York Times. The op-ed page
Hell
of the
no.
New York Times
Jesus,
is like
what happened
this,
there.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Pat Buchanan wet dream, the op-ed page of the New York Times. You know,
I think Vladimir Putin ejaculating on Europe is a Pat Buchanan wet dream. But we now have a running gag, folks. Feel free to pile on. Let's offend everybody. Frank, how do you feel about Marjorie Taylor Greene filing a motion to vacate? It's been 6 months. It's time for a new speaker, don't you think? They've been in array long enough.
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the thing is like, yes, she's crazy, but Mike Johnson is just as crazy.
Yes.
And so I don't, the idea of like Katie Britt and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert as if there's some kind of aberration of the Republican Party.
That's correct.
They are the Republican. Matt Gaetz is the Republican Party.
It's the Trump and Party. It's not even the Republican Party anymore. The Republicans don't realize it's Trump's party, not theirs anymore.
And Mike Johnson is as insane as anyone. And you know, if Trump drops dead tomorrow, God forbid, the Republican Party would still be as messed up as it is.
Indeed. I agree. They just have to find a new hood ornament for their car. Let's go to the phones. We have a lot of listeners who want to weigh in. TV's Frank will be taking your questions tonight on comedy, political science, complex tax issues, and your personal relations at 866-997-4748. Brian in Oregon. Welcome. You may speak with the Holy Mother of the Bene Gesserit, TV's Frank, Frank Conniff. Put your hand in this box and kneel.
I'm kneeling at the altar, or whatever it is, at the box, the side of the box.
Very good. Very good.
Putin ejaculating all over Europe is something. But I realized that Putin actually probably has prostate trouble. And he can't ejaculate.
Oh.
Wow. And
he's in his 68.
Oh, I see what you're saying. He's an older man, so maybe he can't.
He's probably impotent.
Well, I hadn't thought about that. I think we should tell him. I think you should tell him as much as possible.
I would if
near open windows in Moscow.
Well, I'd be shot dead. But
we hadn't considered it on its own merits. We hadn't really examined it in a literal sense. So it's good.
Yes. But thank you. You took us from his ejaculate to his prostate. So I feel like our show is already getting more dignified in this call.
Well, I'm going to send him a bottle of prostate helper, whatever that is.
Oh, that stuff is guaranteed to work. Spend a lot of money there. Very good.
Look, we don't want to taint Putin, okay?
No. But,
and we don't want to touch a sore spot.
I had the thought I didn't get through the other night when I called about Gaza and our troops and protecting the Gazans from the Israelis.
Yes.
I was really thinking that all you got to do is talk about it, like you with the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
That would
slap
the Netanyahu and the Israelis in the goddamn face.
I don't think you want to even entertain the notion of putting American troops in harm's way against Israeli troops. I don't see any president tough-talking their way into any kind of scenario because they would never do it.
Well, my thought is it wouldn't be necessarily in harm's way. I can't imagine Israelis shooting at Americans. But anyways, my other thought...
If you're on the ground in Gaza while they're bombing the shit out of Gaza, you're in harm's way.
Palestinian children. That's that.
Yeah, we can handle Palestinian children being killed, but not American troops.
No, I don't think they would fire on American troops. Because can you imagine?
It's hard to imagine what they wouldn't fire on. Is all I'm saying.
It's hard to imagine Hamas not firing on American troops and blaming it on Israel. There's a million scenarios where your idea could go really wrong.
Then our guys could deal with Hamas. But
all right, you know what? You should pitch this to Biden. You should pitch this idea. You got to go on your own on this one. I can't go into the pitch meeting with you. Is you.
I just wanted to get that out there about just talking about it, and you did with the Supreme Court. And my grand thought or fantasy would be to see Biden go to Taylor Greene's district and go to a cafe or what have you in her district and humanize himself and whoever else might join him. Probably there's what's that? There's a great congressman, Hank Johnson.
Yeah, there's a lot. He's got two good senators in that state, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see how much Biden wants the campaign in states, but he's got to win Georgia. I mean, normally I wouldn't say that, but I think he's going to have to. So we'll see. If there's high turnout, he will. If there's high turnout, he's going to win Georgia. If there's low turnout, he won't.
And my last thing, if I got
really one more? Okay, really quick. Go ahead.
I sound like the who is, never mind. Caller from Chicago or whatever that name is. My last item is John Kennedy from Louisiana. I heard Chris Hayes played a montage of that, the Senate guys grilling the Muslim appellate judge candidate, Marjan, or I can't quite get his name from listening. It was just so obscene, the way that he talked to this poor guy. And apparently, I mean, incredibly qualified compared I called up the other day about some of this. I had heard about it. And you think Aileen Cannon is more qualified than this asshole, this guy? And
yeah.
Are you there?
There's not
yeah,
the spirit. The spirit of the spirit of, said, of
listen,
the
you, spirit of.
Go ahead, Frank.
Oh,
the spirit of Strom Thurmond lives with John Kennedy. You know, when you see him speak at a meeting. There's no, it's just the lowest form of ignorant, you know, backwards ass fuck, you know, who is just, you can't believe that he's in any position of power.
Yeah, it's more, he's also the ghost of Foghorn Leghorn. I mean, you have to remember with this guy, John Kennedy, he's a Rhodes Scholar. Like, he's an educated man. He knows better. But now, instead, he talks like a man who steals chickens. Like,
well, I
like
think he did. It sounds
he
like
didn't used to. He didn't used to speak that way. Now he speaks that way.
Yeah. Well, and I think too. His parting comment to this guy was, "Is this the way you celebrate 9/11?" With something he was accusing the guy of sponsoring. Some college thing about Gazans wanting a jihad or something in the U.S. or some goddamn thing.
Yeah, he's a bigot, and he did, and he's out there tweeting about how it's not Islamophobic. He wants his base to think it's Islamophobic. The racism is the point. The cruelty is the point. The meanness, the bullying is the point. That's the brand. That's what he cynically thinks is what white Christians want to see. So that's what he does.
Great. My last thing I told the guy.
Oh, dude, this is your ninth point. All right, really quick.
What? No, sorry, John. I suggest that he go over to the Egyptian side of the border and see for himself what the hell our bombs are doing.
Right on. Right on. Well, I thank you very much for the call, man. I do appreciate it. I hope you got to assert enough things. Anything else you want to raise? I mean, I can break into the commercial break if you want.
That had more points than Hellraiser.
I kept feeling I was like the Lord of the Rings part three. I kept thinking, okay, we're wrapping now, right? There's more climax to come. Great job, man. Thank you for the call. Frank, can you stick around until after the break?
Sure.
Weigh in more on the headlines because I got a few things I got to ask you about as well. We are at 866-997-4748. We'll be right back in just a moment. This is Progress.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back with TV's Frank, Frank Conniff, and 866-997-4748. And I just admitted to Frank that I've never seen the original Patrick Swayze Roadhouse. I never got around to it.
That amazes me. It's a foundational text to the to who we are as a nation and a people.
I know.
It's part of the DNA of who we are.
I sat across the console from Kelly Lynch and made her believe I had seen it. And she thought I had because I was a white guy of the age. So she assumed I had seen Roadhouse like every other guy of my generation. Mm-hmm. Never got to do it.
Well, hopefully it'll be your regular Saturday night thing. So Roadhouse.
No, I can't wait. That movie's hotter than Tim Scott and Mindy's Wedding Night, which is what I want to ask you about, Frank. Do you want to send any congratulations to the ever go happy go lucky bachelor senator of South Carolina? He's finally going to make an honest woman out of Mindy, and they are going to get married sometime after he does not become vice president.
Wow. Well, I didn't know about this. And the level to which I don't give a shit about it is pretty high, but I guess that woman is marrying him because she sees how incredibly happy Melania is. You know, you look at Melania, she just glows.
She really does.
In her two public appearances in the last 2 years, you know,
I agree.
Some women, they just want that kind of joy for themselves.
It's really true.
I'm jealous of them, to be honest.
Tell me why.
Because, you know, I've never been able to grow a beard that quickly. And I felt that it's held me back from being a man.
Very good. You both get points. 866-997-4748. Listen,
you know,
Mindy, congratulations. Go ahead.
Republicans are in this world we live in, which has changed so rapidly. Republicans are making a last stand for the classic closeted gay person. You know,
I know, it's beautiful.
They're very pro tradition, and the tradition of closeted men is there's a long history of that in our country.
Hey, listen, Mindy, you know, don't listen to them, Mindy. Don't listen to them, future Mrs. Senator Tim Scott. You, every woman should find herself a man like Tim Scott, a man who'll go on weekend fishing trips with the guys and never open his tackle box. 866.
Sounds like me on a fishing trip.
997. Richie in L.A. on line 5. Richie, you're on with TV's Frank. The floor is yours.
Wow, thank you. Hi, Frank. Hi, Chris.
Hey.
Hi, Thea.
Hello. So
I was so inspired listening to Brian in Oregon. But you know what we could do? You could get MSNBC to hire Benjamin Netanyahu and
why
also
not
hire Lauren Boebert to take Vladimir Putin into a theater.
But you know what? The fact that they have Rona McDaniel, it's like, why wouldn't they hire Lauren Boebert? Why wouldn't they hire Marjorie Taylor Greene? Why wouldn't they hire Katie Britt? It's just as insane. She's just as awful as any of those people.
They could have another version of The View.
But again, these are the arguments to remember the next time someone tries to sell you on this reality that MSNBC is a liberal channel. It is not. If it was a liberal channel, they'd be talking about organized labor and climate science all the time. They are not. They are pro-democratic party. They are not a liberal channel. Just like Fox News is not a conservative channel. It is pro-Trump party. That used to be the Republican Party. But it's not about any kind of conservative values beyond blind obedience to a game show host.
Yeah. No, I mean, it would be kind of
which
funny
I support if it's Wink Martindale, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm going to say that again on the record, folks.
What's that?
No. Nothing at all. Go ahead, Richie. The floor is yours.
Sorry.
It's okay. You don't have a light yet.
More of a Jim Lang person.
I'm just thinking they could also invite the Kennedy senator when Marjorie Taylor Greene is on, because he could be their Mr. Haney.
Now I'm starting to like that. I'm starting to like this version of MSNBC.
I like it.
With a Mr. Haney.
We're getting Mr. Haney references for the Gen Zers.
And an Ebb, you know, on the show, and an Arnold the Pig should have his own show while they're at it, you know. That's the MSNBC I would be all for.
This is Green Acres. Is that the show you guys were talking about?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Green Green Acres, the you, only, the, by the way, the older only friends. Green Acres, yeah. the only surrealistic sitcom of the 1960s.
Anything else, Richie? Did we lose Richie? Let me go to Ralph.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you're here. Anything else, Richie?
Yeah, I was going to say you could get Melania to play Zsa Zsa.
There we go.
She's not worthy of Ava Gabor. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, and no, by the way, they had her on set. They told her, hit your mark, and she slapped Donald.
No, it's, the other thing I was going to say, this is...
Oh, my God. Everybody bought backpacks of points.
Are doing something to my identity. I'm half German and half Jewish. Now I realize both teams are equally asshole-ish. I didn't know when they said never forget, I didn't know they meant never forget how to do it to somebody else.
Not there's a lot of Jewish people. I get the line you're trying to walk edgily, but there's a lot of Jewish people who are not down with what Netanyahu's doing.
Yeah, there are a lot of people signed petitions about anti-Netanyahu government. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. There's been a lot of American Jews who are not on the side of what he's doing.
Even some Israeli Jews.
Yeah, a lot of Israeli, more now than a year ago.
Proud of them, but
the thing is what they do is, what the right does is that they say if you criticize Israel, you're anti-Semitic. If you could criticize the Israeli government, you're anti-Semitic. Yeah. And that's bullshit.
But they say the same thing. If you criticize Israel's leader, it means you hate Israel. But they can't stop criticizing America's leader, which means they must hate America. It's authoritarian double talking jive.
I was impressed that Schumer criticized him the way he did.
I wasn't really impressed.
Wasn't expecting that from Chuck, get along guy Schumer.
But you know what? I think that has a lot to do with Joe Biden and the kind of diplomacy he's going to do. Joe Biden is not going to call for a ceasefire. He's going to send Kamala out to call for a ceasefire to meet with the opposition. Then he's going to send the most loyal ally Netanyahu has ever had. Schumer sided with Netanyahu over Obama so many times. I think that was a strategic deployment because Biden can't do what so many of us want him to do. Ralph in Connecticut, you're on with TV's Frank. Hello and welcome.
Israel has that iron dome. I think pretty soon we're going to see a latex dome going over Europe. Maybe NATO will sponsor it.
Oh, what hath God wrought? What hath God wrought?
Good callback.
Yes, our NATO allies are investing in a tarp to protect all of the nation states. Yeah. Anything else?
Everyone, we all done?
Was that it? Ralph?
That's it.
Did you bring 12
that's
other
it.
Points?
That's all I got.
Ralph, it was worth it.
Well, we're going to imprison you in the Gulag Arpinicio.
You had one shot, and you didn't waste it.
They do have to keep those missile launchers lubed, though, for your protection.
How dare you? These are nice people. These are nice people. Thank you, Ralph. Can we go to Chris in Burbank to class this joint up a little bit on line 6? Chris, thank you for your patience. Welcome. You're on Progress with TV's Frank. Frank Gonif.
I think Thea meant to say Bruce.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no,
my apologies.
Don't be sorry. My parents named me, and that's it.
Okay, well,
by
welcome.
The way, thank you. And as far as the Green Acres references are concerned, my parents of blessed memories, ashes, are buried right next to Kay Cooter, who was farmer Newt Kiley on Green Acres.
Oh, wow.
Aside from
that's
that.
Awesome.
Yuck. Anyway, Frank, nothing for you tonight. I just wanted to announce that Call for Change is starting its phone banks this weekend for swing states voter registration, and people can sign up at mobilize.us/call for change, the number 4. And that's all I want to say. Thank you, John.
Say it one more time for Call for Change. How do we go?
mobilize.us/call for change with the number 4.
Thank you so much.
And it's going to be 3 to 5 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time every Sunday through the election, except I think for high holidays.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for your efforts.
Thank you, John, very
some,
much.
Productive stuff right there. Thank you.
Right,
very
right
much.
There. Not like what you and I do. You and I
no,
just
we you just and I just make jizz jokes.
We create jizz jokes and hit send. That's what we do. We attack fascists in the context of saying like and subscribe. That's what we do. This man does the real work. Let me go to Beachside Bill in Orlando, who's been on hold forever. Bill, welcome. You're on with TV's Frank before the break.
Hey, Frank and John, everybody, hope all's well. Let me talk about William Shatner. Yeah, hello?
Yes, it's William Shatner's 93rd birthday, Frank. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, my God, wow.
I want to quickly get to it. Frank remembers the original episode of the Doomsday Machine. I'm going to use this as an example. And I'm not talking about the human side. I'm talking about when they used the ship. Remember in the old episodes, the ship, you could see the wire. I remember watching it, and I have it on tape when I recorded it back in the 80s. You can see the wire when the Constellation was going into the Doomsday Machine there. But now they've updated it. They've updated it, you know, it was like a decade ago maybe. They've updated it now. It's really, really cool how the Constellation enters the Enterprise. Update it. Check it out. You'll see what I mean.
I'll check that out for sure. But I have to say, I think one of the charms of the original Star Trek series, which is still my favorite of all Star Treks, is the cheesiness and the cheapness of it.
Yeah,
it's part of the charm. And there are scenes, there are like fight scenes where they cut to a long shot, and it's obviously a double. It's obviously not William Shatner. and I just love that.
Me too. Me too. I love it. It's the part of the charm of the show because the special effects are so crude, but the scripts are often so sophisticated, and it really works together.
Great. And the actors were great. It was.
What is, in your guys' estimation, what is William Shatner's best TV role? He's had quite a few memorable ones.
Twilight Zone. Terrorist.
Twilight Zone, and you know what he was really good in? There was a
Boston Legal.
A really good TV movie in the 70s called Go Ask Alice, which was about a drug addict kid. It was very hot stuff in its day, but it was a really good movie. And he played the kid's dad in that. And I remember him being really, really good in that role. And you know, they had a scene of him kind of lecturing her about drugs, and he's drinking beer after beer after beer, you know. It was like really good.
I love Shatner. He's so smart. He's done the show several times now. Chris, what do you think is his best TV role?
I think that it's his appearances on Columbo. He was a really
Columbo villain.
He had there's two really good ones. There's one where he was a TV executive who
hosted
like a crime show. And he was like a detective, like a Columbo type. And then there was one later on towards the 80s where he played a right-wing talk radio host, I believe.
Really?
I
love it.
Who had a daughter who was a budding author. It's so good. He had a pencil-thin John Waters mustache in that one. It's so good.
I love that stuff. I will still maintain that his finest work as an actor is in the film Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, when he's allowed to say the line, "You Klingon bastards, you've killed my son," 7 times in a row, building with intensity each time. The entire monologue is him repeating the words, "You Klingon bastards, you've killed my son." For me, it's peak Shatner. That and Denny Crane in Boston Legal.
Let's not forget Rocket Man either.
Oh, that's right. You want to go into his musical oeuvre? I can talk all night about his Mr. Tambourine Man. We got to go. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Thea. This is SiriusXM. I'm John Fugelsang. Peace.